discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Building 429 has been offering contagious hope through songs like Where I Belong, Impossible, and Listen to the Sound since 1999. Nearly two decades later, they just released a project they say has been the most spiritually and musically intense of their whole journey as a band. Jason Roy, the lead singer of Building 429, returns to On the Road to explain why and share the heart that continues to drive them. He joins us literally on the road in the northeastern U.S. and gives us a road report to get us started.
I'm in a tour bus rolling through New Jersey in the snow trying to get to New Hampshire. It's a decent day.
Oh, no. Are you going to make it to where you're seeking to go?
Oh, yeah. We will make it. I don't know how long it's going to take to make it, but we will make it because we've never missed a show before. So we'll be there.
Oh, my word. Is that correct? You have never missed a show before?
No, not because of anything. No, we've never missed a single show because of weather or anything like that in 19 years. That's pretty awesome.
That is truly miraculous right there. Have you ever had to, like, if you were going to head there on a bus, have you ever had to take a plane or rearrange transportation plans, something like that?
Well, you know, it's funny. Actually, I did think about it. We did miss one show. Actually, we missed one, a Women of Faith event one time, but... No, when the bus breaks down, we just find rental cars and go. I mean, we're just not the kind of band that goes, oh, darn, our first option didn't work. No, it's like option B, C. We just keep going and going and going until we figure it out.
Wow, that's really incredible, actually. I love that. So by the time we share this conversation, then, Jason, we'll have celebrated Thanksgiving. The Christmas season will be stretching out before us. And, you know, just as you look back on 2018 and new records, so many things going on in your life. What are you thankful for this year, good sir?
Well, I mean, I am. That's an easy one. I'm thankful for my family, and mostly because you know, we went through two cancer scares this year. Both of them are cancer free today. Both parts of my family, my kids are in great health. My wife is in great health, and as we look at this season, this Christmas season that's upcoming, there's not really much more that I want to do than be able to spend time with them. Just be thankful for another season of prosperity and the Lord's blessing and faithfulness to us. And so, yeah, that's what I would go with. Immediate thought, thankful for my wife, for my kids, and for my extended family.
You know, I think that when we think about the touring life, as we hear you on the bus there the click of the roadway, the creak of the roadway. You know, we think, imagine a pretty glamorous lifestyle, right? Maybe something we've seen on films or on television. But, you know, you talk about your family like that. And, you know, I imagine it's got to be a sacrifice for you to be away from them as much as you are. How do you really intentionally stay connected to family when you're on the road? Are they able to travel with you at certain points? Is it technology that keeps you connected? How does that kind of work for you?
Yeah, well, it's really all the technology in the world doesn't mean anything if you're not intentional first. And so it starts with us being intentional beings, you know, like my wife, even at home, like I could go home from the road, right, and be home for a week. And if I'm not intentional with my wife, with how busy our lives are, then she's not going to know she's a priority even with me at home. Mm. So, you know, I think that, you know, for me, it's all about being intentional. Yes, we talk FaceTime back and forth. Yes, I'm on the phone with them. And they do travel with me to special events. But really, more than anything, it's about intentionality. And if you're not an intentional person, then your family will never know that you love them the way you should.
Well, that's well said. Well, let's talk about the new music a little bit, good sir. You've talked about the years, really, that you spent making this record as one of the most profound journeys that you've ever taken. And as somebody who's made and crafted as much music as you have, that definitely catches the ear. How so? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I've never been in a process where I wrote 100 songs just to get 10 done. I've never been in a process before where I've made half of a record. recorded 5-6 songs and then took them and threw them in the trash and had to go back and restart again.
Oh,
you know, it's just been one of those situations where a process that should not have been that hard was really difficult. And, you know, like trying to figure out what people want from you. It's funny because people think that it's just building Fortune 9 making a record. No, it's building Fortune 9 making a record with 15 people telling them what each song isn't or is or should or should not be.
Wow.
All the way through until you have 15 people who all agree on all the songs.
Wow.
And it was brutal, man. It was just like, at a certain point, there definitely came a point for me where I literally was like, I told my wife, I said, babe, I just don't think we need to make this record. I just think that God doesn't want this to come out. And her response to me was, no, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe there's, it needs to come out, but there's just, you know, Satan does not want this to be heard. And, you know, it was weird because within, you know, each one of those songs, like there's a couple of songs on the record that made the record that were rewritten 15 times. So 100 songs rewritten 2, 3, 4, 5 times. It just became mind-numbing. And I think that speaks a little bit to the state of where the industry is, but I think more than anything, it just put me in a place where I began to realize that I just wasn't in control of it. And that's really hard, you know, to really truly feel like you're not, you know, in control of what's going on. And you have to just go, okay, God, there is no end in sight. There was probably about a year there where the record was already supposed to be out and we were in year two. And, you know, for us to kind of relinquish control and go, okay, God, it's supposed to be out now. We're on Winter Jam. We're on all these major tours. We need a record out right now. And for some reason, it's just not happening. And to just go, God, all right, we're just going to have to trust you and have faith that you really know what you're doing with this music and with this career, which is very difficult because, again, I've done this for so long that I know how to run this thing.
Right.
It was like it was ripped out of my hand.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you for that response. That's an amazingly honest response that really takes us inside the process. Jason Roy with us from the tour bus, the lead singer of Building 429, the new album this fall called Live the Journey, an amazing journey to live the journey. When you talk about, because this is the kind of stuff that we don't really get to see as your fans, you know, and people who love your music, is this, we think about the songs that we love, we hear them on the radio, and we turn up the radio every time we hear them. We don't think about hundreds of songs and hours long writing sessions. I mean, when you're in the midst of this, how do you keep the creativity fresh? Like, it, just from a process standpoint, I mean, how do you keep that fresh when the system of having to churn out all of these songs is over your head that whole time?
Yeah, it's really on this record, and you'll hear it when you listen to the record. On this record, it was all about surrender. It stayed fresh because I stopped, because I didn't fight for me. You know, I was like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here. And if I'll be honest, there are times when it's not fresh and you just go in and you sit down in a writing room and they go, hey man, how are you? And they're all your friends, so you love them. You know, you grab some coffee and you're chit-chatting and lo and behold, a song like Always Only You, which is on the record, comes out. And it's not really a super happy-go-lucky song, but it really talks to the faithfulness of God, you know. And so I don't know. It's one of those things where you just wake up, you get back in the Word every day before you go. You pray that the Lord will bless you as you walk into the room. And this idea of surrender and not having to have it all mapped out, that was something that just kept coming up as we were making the record. So instead of walking into, you know, a writing session with 5 or 6 ideas, it got to the point where I just kind of walked in and said, okay, Lord, I'm here. Give me what you want to give me. And
wow.
I'd sit down at the piano and write some musical thing and sing a melody, and off to the races we'd go, trying to figure out what the Lord wanted to say that day. But it takes a lot of faith to walk it out that way, you know? And my faith was truly stretched in this process.
Wow. Well, it's amazing. And I know I don't mean to be reductive when I say this, because you guys have talked about the fullness of life in your songs for, you know, 19 years. But, you know, some of the songs you're known the most for have definitely been specifically encouraging songs, right? I mean, songs that are just sort of effervescent, that lift you up. And these songs that are about some of the struggles of life, it's not that they haven't been there before, but for them to be the focus, is that a little bit of a different experience for you guys?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's weird because I wanted to be as effervescent as I've ever been. The process rendered a few songs like that. But, you know, I was in the middle of a season where two people in my family were facing cancer. And, you know, I was in the middle of a process where, you know, you have to remember 90 songs were shot down. that's not the Jason process. You know, I that's not the way that, like, you know, there's a point where I remember looking at my wife and saying, I'm good at this. I'm like really good at this. Like, I know I'm good at this. I mean,
yes.
How am I this bad? And really, you know, we just had to get to a point where we just had to go, you know, Lord, you're in this somewhere. You're doing something somewhere. And we just have to trust that this process is going to be what you need for your people at this time. And so the record does have a different sound. It is a little bit more open and honest. But maybe the record's better for it. You know, I think that maybe for me to let my guard down a little bit, and for people to kind of hear that I really don't have it all figured out and I'm having to trust the Lord completely is a really good thing, you know?
Yeah, well, I sure appreciate you being as open and honest about it as you have been. It's really ministered to many of us. Jason Roy is with us here on the road today, the lead singer of Building 429, the new album this fall called Live the Journey. You mentioned just off the top, and I've become more fascinated talking to a number of you guys who make such great music, just a little bit about the changes in the industry that you referenced just in passing, because when we... You know, when we used to think about buying music, you go out, you buy the album, you buy the record. And of course, so many of us will do exactly that with Live the Journey. But there is this sea change too with Spotify and with streaming and purchasing single tracks. So I wonder, just from your perspective, how does that change the way that you approach the music that you're making? Did that play into this process?
We're in the middle of a transition from the old world to the new. In the old world, you'd sign a record deal that said you're going to do four records or five records. But, you know, in the middle of that five record deal, all of a sudden it switches and nobody buys records. So you're in this weird position of like where you need to shift and start making EPs and just releasing singles, but your contract won't allow that. And if you go in and renegotiate all that kind of stuff, then your contract gets longer. You know, and you're kind of committed for even more time. So
Wow. That,
from a contractual side, everything is shifting underneath our feet right now. From a listener, from a consumption side, people really don't listen to records anymore at all. And that's evidenced by my kids. they have one song from every artist, and that one song is the one that they listen to. And so what that also does, that makes the litmus that the labels put on artists in terms of songs just crazy different. You know, where you used to put together album tracks or whatever, you might used to create bunch, you know, just left of center things. They really would like you to kind of come down the center with almost everything. And when you're putting out a record instead of an EP, that means that you put out that they're looking for 10 songs that are radio songs.
Wow.
And that's just a difficult thing to do. You know, it's not easy to put 10 quote-unquote radio songs on a record. And if by chance you happen to put 10 songs that are radio songs on a record, the negative can be, hey, they all sound the same. so it can get a little convoluted and confusing. The reality is, though, that God is still using music to impact lives.
Yeah.
And while the systems are changing and it's a difficult time in music to figure out how in the world do we engage people like this, you still know that God's using it, and so we're thankful to be a part of it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having the honesty to take us inside that, because I think we see the change in our own habits, but it's kind of fascinating to see how it changes the process for you as well. You've talked about one of the lessons that has shaped the record is that the moment we have right now is the most precious thing, and so don't squander that moment. And you've touched on it just a little bit, but how are you learning that in the process of making this, and how does it show up in the album?
Hey, I'll give you a perfect example. Yesterday, we were in Louisville, Kentucky on the bus. It was snowing, and I had a rough day. So we stopped to get food, and the Starbucks was a quarter mile down the road. So I put my clothes on, my scarf, everything, and I walked through the snow and mud to the Starbucks. Well, I got to the Starbucks, and I was getting a coffee, and I walked up to the counter, and this guy looks at me with my beanie pulled down over my head and my eyeglasses on, so I don't look anything like the guy that you would know. He goes, "You're Jason from Building 429. and I looked up at him, and I was like, yeah, I am. Well, who are you? And he says, "My name is Nick. I grew up in the same church that you grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
What?
The church that your wife and you served on staff at." Yes. And he goes, "I'm a huge fan of your music." And I said, "What are you doing in Louisville, Kentucky?" He goes, "I just moved here with my wife, and she would be flipping out because we love your music. We love." And I had a really bad day, you know? And he had engaged me and asked the question that I knew he was probably a little scared to ask, and I got to shake his hand and everything. And then I realized I had a quarter mile back to my bus, and I'd never done this in all my life, all my career. But I turned around and looked at him, and I said, "Hey, where are you headed?" He said, "No, I'm just going, my wife and I are going to head home." And I said, "Is there any chance you could take me over to across the road to the bus?" And he was like, No way. Yes. So I walked and got in his car, and his wife was in the car. She's like, "Who's this weird dude?" And he goes, "This is the lead singer of Building 429. And at which point she just flipped out. And I got the biggest blessing in the world in a 10-minute ride from a Starbucks to our bus.
Wow.
Where I found out that these people were genuinely so excited to be able to be, for a moment, in the same room. And I took them on a tour bus. We took a picture, and we've been on the band. And I just thought to myself, how many times have I walked into a Starbucks and ducked my head and grabbed the coffee and walked out the door, or had an opportunity to go, "Hey, let's spend a little bit more time together," and just been like, no, let's, I don't want to be a pro. I don't want to be that guy. And I guess at this point in my career, I'm just, and in my life, I'm just to the point that's very different, where I'm going, "Lord, like, show me where I'm supposed to be. Show me the conversation I'm supposed to be in, and then give me the courage to stand in them and stay in them, even when I'm a little bit stressed out, because I'm actually an introvert. Like, give me the courage to stand in these conversations and bless people and be a part of their lives." And that really is the walking out of all we have is this moment. This moment is precious. So let's use it. And that's really kind of the idea.
Wow. Something that may surprise folks about your story a little bit is that for a long time, despite all the success that you've had, you talk about feeling like almost like an imposter a little bit, like somehow all the success that wasn't deserved in some way. So I'm wondering if you could speak to that, but then also the conversation that you have backstage at one of your shows, where I believe it was your bandmate, right, tells you you're not an imposter, that really reshaped your attitude. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I a lot of the songs that I've written in my career. So, like, when I was 5 years old, my father, who was a pro powerlifter and a Superman, packed everything he owned and walked out the door and just left me and my mom and my sisters. And it really wrecked our lives. And then I started writing songs as a way to just get stuff out as I got older. And and all the songs that I wrote to God were questions like, "God, where are you? What are you doing? Like, I need you," like that kind of thing. And And so that has been a pattern of my life, to write the songs. I say this to even younger artists when I'm writing with them. Let's write songs that represent where you want to be in 3 years or 4 years. And by that I mean, like, let's not just settle for how good we are today. Let's push beyond today, and let's push to where in 3 or 4 years we're going to be really proud of this, you know. But I've spent a career doing that, and then I think that, you know, it's not like there's not a voice out there that speaks to me that tells me I'm not good enough, you know. But that voice speaks to me occasionally and says, you spent an entire career writing about who you wish you were, not who you are. And are you really even who these songs say you are? You know, and in your times of struggle and in your times of doubt, you wonder, you know, if people really knew the struggle that I feel like, would they? And that's a universal question, right? Every person deals with that. Like, yeah. If people really knew. And I think coming to a point of recognition that shame and fear and all those things, they have power as long as we keep them in the dark. But as soon as we bring them to the light, then the light absolutely overcomes all darkness. And all of a sudden, you don't have to be afraid or, you know, ashamed of anything anymore. But yeah, you know, we were playing this mega tour, and I had switched my mind off and decided that Building Portway and I was just so tired. I was just so beat up from writing all these songs and touring so much and always wondering, was I enough? Was I good enough? Was I not good enough? You know, you play 150 shows in a year and sing an hour and a half in every one of those shows. Tell me how good your voice is going to be on show number 25, you know? Just all those things. And, you know, because the other thing that's a bit of a difficulty is that, you know, the music industry, you know, you're not seeing a picture of me on the cover of my record that's true. You're seeing the Photoshopped version, you know? You're not
sure.
You're not hearing very often a song that is truly the guy's voice when he sings it one time down or two times down. You're hearing, you know, 70 different cuts of that voice, tuned and edited and all that kind of stuff. And so after you do this for a long, long time, you start believing that the real version of you is just not good enough. And yeah, we were playing the show, and we had played, you know, night after night. We were on this tour called Winter Jam, and we were playing the song called Where I Belong. All I know is I'm not home yet. It's not Where I Belong. And I remember we'd get to the bridge of that song, and it's so, you know, night, one through five, the bridge of the song is easy to sing, but night 5 through 10, it's really hard. And then after that, it gets even more difficult. And it got to the point where I just couldn't carry it anymore because we were playing so many shows. But what was amazing is that I wasn't realizing that the crowd was singing it for me in the way that the church does. Mm-hmm. You know, when I fall short, the congregation comes together and we all work together. And so I walked off the stage, and he's like, I don't know what it's going to take for you to get it, but God has called you to do this. You are enough. And when you're not enough, there's a huge congregation of people out there who are ready to step into that gap and lift you up. So start believing that you are in fact meant to do what it's obvious to all of us that you're meant to do.
Wow.
And it kind of wrecked me, man. And in fact, I went to the bus that night and I wrote a song called Press On. It says, I'm a mess, I'm a wrecking ball, I must confess, I still don't get it all. But Lord, I believe that all your words are true, so it doesn't matter where I'm going with you, I'll press on.
Wow. Well, what an incredible place to close up the conversation. What an incredible story. Sir, thank you so much for your honesty and for taking some time for us today. I know you're really busy. I know you're trying to beat the elements to get to your next stop. So it was just a pleasure to talk to you, man. Seriously.
Oh, thank you, man. I really enjoyed it. And hey, maybe we'll do it again sometime, right?
that would be just the best. Jason Roy, lead singer.
No snow or tour bus.
Jason Roy, the lead singer of Building 429, the new album called Live the Journey. And sir, if people do want to learn more about you, keep up with you on social media and grab the new record, where should they start the journey?
Yeah, just go to building429.com. You can go to our Facebook, which is building429. Our Instagram is building429official. In fact, the story I told in the, there's a picture of the guy I was talking about, Nick, from the Starbucks in Louisville that I just posted last night. Follow us there and on Twitter as well. So
awesome. Well, bless you, sir. Keep up the great work, and thanks so much once again.
All right, man. Bless you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.